नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 12 थ्रू 20 टेक्स्ट 12। तत्कालीय परम वेद नान्य कश्चन लेलिहा अवात्सीद गरुडाद् भीता कृष्णेन च विवासिता। ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ ऑल द सर्पेंट्स ओनली कालिया केम टू नो ऑफ दिस अफेयर एंड इन फियर ऑफ गरुड़ा ही टुक अ प्रेसिडेंस इन दैट यमुना लेक। लेटर लॉर्ड कृष्णा ड्रोव हिम आउट। सो वी हैव अ चेन ऑफ वर्सेस। वी विल गो टिल टेक्स्ट 20 टेक्स्ट 13 एंड 14। कृष्णं हृदाद् विनिष्क्रांतं दिव्यस्रगंधवाससं महामणिगुणाकीर्णं जांबुनादपरिष्कृतं उपलभ्योतिता सर्वे लब्धप्राणा इवासव प्रमोदनिवृतात्मानो गोपाप्रीत्याभिरेभिरे। ट्रांसलेशन। रेज्यूमिंग हिज डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ कृष्णास चेस्टाइजमेंट ऑफ कालिया सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड। Krishna rose up out of the lake wearing divine garlands, fragrances and garments, covered with many fine jewels and decorated with gold. When the cowherds saw him, they all stood up immediately, just like an unconscious person's senses coming back to life. Filled with joy, they affectionately embraced him. Text 15. Yashoda rohini nando gopyo gopascha kaurava कृष्णं समेत्य लब्धेहा आसन शुष्कानगा अपि। हैविंग रीगेन्ड देयर वाइटल फंक्शंस यशोदा रोहिणी नंदा एंड ऑल द अदर काउहर्ड विमेन एंड मेन वेंट अप टू कृष्ण। ओ डिसेंडेंट ऑफ कुरु इवन द ड्राइड अप ट्रीज केम बैक टू लाइफ। टेक्स्ट 16। रामश्चाच्युतमालिंग्य जहासास्यानुभाववित् प्रेमणा तमंकम आरोप्य पुनः पुनर् उदैक्षत गावो वृषा वत्सतरयो लेभिरे परमं मुदम्। लॉर्ड बलराम एम्ब्रेस्ड हिज इनफैलिबल ब्रदर एंड लाफ्ड नोइंग वेल द एक्सटेंट ऑफ कृष्णास पोटेंसी। आउट ऑफ ग्रेट फीलिंग्स ऑफ लव बलराम लिफ्टेड कृष्णा अप ऑन हिज लैप एंड रिपीटेडली लुक्ड एट हिम। द काउज बुल्स एंड यंग फीमेल काव्स ऑल्सो अचीव्ड द हाइएस्ट प्लेजर। टेक्स्ट 17। नंदम विप्रा समागत्य गुरव सकलत्रका ऊचुस्ते कालियग्रस्तो दिष्ट्यामुक्तस्तवात्मजा। ऑल द रेस्पेक्टेबल ब्राह्मणास टुगेदर विद देयर वाइव्स केम फॉरवर्ड टू ग्रीट नंद महाराज। दे सेड टू हिम योर सन वॉज इन द ग्रिप्स ऑफ कालिया बट बाय द ग्रेस ऑफ प्रोविडेंस ही इज नाउ फ्री। देही दानम द्विजातीनाम कृष्ण निर्मुक्ति हेतवे नंद प्रीतमनाराजन गासुवर्णम तदादिशत। द ब्राह्मण हैज एन एडवाइज नंद महाराज टू एश्योर दैट योर सन कृष्णा विल ऑलवेज बी फ्री फ्रॉम डेंजर यू शुड गिव चैरिटी टू द ब्राह्मणास। विद अ सैटिस्फाइड माइंड ओ किंग नंद महाराज देन वेरी ग्लैडली गेव दम गिफ्ट्स ऑफ काउज एंड गोल्ड। टेक्स्ट 19। यशोदापि महाभागा नष्टलब्ध प्रजासति परिष्वज्यांकमारोप्य मुमोचाश्रु कलाम मुहु। द ग्रेटली फॉर्चुनेट मदर यशोदा हैविंग लॉस्ट हर सन एंड देन रिगेन्ड हिम प्लेस्ड हिम ऑन हर लैप। दैट चेस्ट लेडी क्राइड कॉन्स्टेंट टॉरेंट्स ऑफ टीयर्स एज शी रिपीटेडली एम्ब्रेस्ड हिम। 20। ताम रात्रिम तत्र राजेन्द्र क्षुत्रुद्भ्याम श्रमकर्षिता उपकूलता। ओ बेस्ट ऑफ किंग्स परीक्षित बिकॉज द रेसिडेंट्स ऑफ वृंदावन आर फीलिंग वेरी वीक फ्रॉम हंगर थर्स्ट एंड फटीग दे एंड द काउस स्पेंड द नाइट वेयर दे वर लाइंग डाउन नियर द बैंक ऑफ द कालिंदी। परपोर्ट। Srila Jiva Goswami points out that although the people were weak from hunger and thirst, they did not drink the milk from the cows present there because they feared it had been contaminated by the serpent's poison. The residents of Vrindavan were so overjoyed to get back their beloved Krishna that they did not want to go back to their houses. They wanted to stay with Krishna on the bank of the Yamuna so that they could continuously see him. Thus they decided to take rest near the river bank. Hare Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees present here so I can speak something on the on this elevated subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are almost towards the end of this pastime of Krishna chastising the serpent Kaliya, and how Saubari Muni cursed Kaliya, and how Kaliya came to reside in the river of Yamuna. So both Kaliya we find here, Kaliya and Putana, both try to poison Krishna. These are the two demons who try to kill Krishna by their poison within. But Krishna killed Putana but delivered Kaliya. Putana had connections with Kamsa and therefore Krishna didn't show any mercy to her. But because Kaliya had connections with pure devotees, the Nagapatnis, so then Krishna decided to deliver him. So now we see how that devotee connection with the pure devotees can come to rescue at the time of the greatest danger. Even if we have the remotest connection with some devotee, some distant connection with some devotee, that can be of so great help and can save us from the greatest of all dangers. So here Kaliya, because of that connection with Nagapatnis, and because the Nagapatnis prayed to Krishna for their husband's deliverance, Krishna decided to show compassion and decided to deliver Kaliya. So here we find how Kaliya comes to Yamuna and then resides there because only he knew among all major serpents that Saubari had cursed Garuda, and therefore Garuda is not going to come and attack the serpents there. It is interesting how people with a demonic mentality, they try to search for loopholes within an existing system. So if there is a system and there is a set of rules and regulations followed, people with ulterior motives will try to look for that gap, that loophole where they can break away and extract their selfish motives. So this we find in generally in legal documents, especially if you read such a convoluted way of describing things, and because people have exploited the system, and if you just explicitly state the facts, then somehow we will cross around and find a loophole to fulfill their ulterior motive. So that's the way how demonic criminal mentality works, trying to find some gap in the system and trying to extract the maximum advantage out of it. So here we find Kaliya doing that. So the criminal mentality, the cheating propensity is there in everyone. We know the standard four defects, everyone, the imperfect senses, tendency to cheat, tendency to get illusioned and committing mistakes. So that cheating propensity comes out whenever we find there is a small gap in the system mechanism. And here Kaliya we find how he is trying to utilize that propensity. So even in the Ramayana we find how Manthara, when trying to poison Kaikeyi with her words, how she is trying to utilize that opportunity. She knew Kaikeyi had that boon from Dasharath, and because she had those ulterior desires of securing a comfortable position in the palace, she reminded Kaikeyi of those two boons. Kaikeyi had already forgotten. She had no desire to exploit the situation. But then Manthara had that desire, so she used Kaikeyi as their opportunity and found that loophole and used it to her advantage, apparently to her advantage. So here we find how when Krishna came out of the coils of Kaliya and the Vrajavasis saw Krishna coming, everyone became blissful and happy and joyful. Before that, they were totally in great anxiety because they considered Krishna as an ordinary human being, ordinary child. They saw Krishna entangled in the coils of Kaliya, they were in great depression. But when they saw Krishna coming out and totally safe, unharmed, they were back to their original joyful situation. So this is the situation how envy works. Kaliya, the personification of all envy, when he was ruling, everyone became morose and depressed. Many left their lives, left their bodies due to the poison of envy. But then as soon as Krishna enters in the lives, we see how everyone regains their lost consciousness, lost happiness, lost joy. Again, in the story, same story of Kaikeyi and Mantra. Kaikeyi was such a happy when she heard first that Ram is going to be coronated as the prince regent. She was naturally joyful. She had no desire to install Bharat and make him the king. But when that poison entered through the words of Mantra, Kaikeyi lost all her joy and cheer in life. And then we know the story how she successfully banished her Lord Ram and became morose. And then later she had to regret a lot. When Bharat came and informed Kaikeyi that he had no desire to become the king or enjoy the kingdom, Kaikeyi got shattered in her hopes. And then she realized her folly and then she went into great depression, regretfully. And in great repentance she realized her mistake and then she had to regret the whole life until the end of the 14 years. So that's how envy works, makes our life so morose, so depressing, so unhappy. And as soon as we allow Krishna to come into our life, we become joyful and happy and regain that lost vitality of life. So, as we see in the Shikshashtakam first verse, the process of devotion service is anandambudhi vartanam. It is supposed to make us happy. As the days progress in devotional life, we are expected to become more happy. Unfortunately, the situation is not always the same. We frequently become depressed in so many situations and become morose and lose that enjoyment, lose that joy. So through the nine stages of the from Shraddha to Prema, we were discussing in Vada how Anartha Nivritti stage is the most difficult of all stages. It's a big struggle. Gauranga Prabhu was explaining how it's like going uphill, and then till Anartha Nivritti it's like going uphill, and then it's like free flow towards the destination. So that Anartha Nivritti stage is such a big struggle of getting rid of all the material attachments. We feel we don't experience that joy. But as soon as we reach the stage of Ruchi and Nishtha, Ruchi and Asakti, then that joy is unimpeded. It's like a free-flowing river. Shivaram Maharaj explains in a nice way in his book how at the stage of Ruchi, it's like, say, imagine you are standing at the entrance of a movie theater, and at the stage of Ruchi, it's like the door is closed, but there is some crack in between, and we are like looking through the crack and having some glimpses of the movie happening. The people standing outside have no idea what's going on inside. But this person at the stage of Ruchi, he gets few glimpses of the dynamics of the movie and he gets a taste, enjoys the scene. And he's excited and thrilled about what's happening inside. But a person of Asakti, for him the door is open. He's inside the theater, sitting comfortably in one of the chairs and enjoying the whole thing blissfully. So that's how the progress is expected to happen when we progress from gradually beyond the anartha nivritti stage and on towards prema. So if anartha nivritti person can enjoy, if the asakti person can enjoy so much, we can't imagine how much enjoyment the person on bhav and prem might be enjoying. So as we hear Rupa Goswami talking about millions of ears and billions of tongues, that's totally beyond our current imagination. But persons who are actually progressing on that stage, it's a continuous river of nectar flowing in their life, totally blissful, enjoying. So here we find how Balaramji is consoling everyone about the situation. Balaramji, before, when Krishna was entangled in the coils, he was the one who tried to console all the Vrajavasis about Krishna's safety. He knew, because Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He cannot be killed by an insignificant serpent like Kali. But then here, Balaramji also, we find when Krishna came out of the coils and reached the banks, Balaram also expressed his concern. He's moving his hands over his cheeks, over his body, checking whether there are any injuries or bruises on Krishna's body. So both roles we find. On one side, he's totally aware that Krishna, how can Kaliya harm Krishna? But then he's also expressing concern over whether he was safe inside, nothing has happened to his body. So Balaramji, being the original guru tattva, we find the spiritual master also sometimes a really elevated Mahabhagavat can, who is always seeing Krishna everywhere, he is always absorbed in Krishna, totally happy. At the same time, how Prabhupada explains, Uttamadhikari comes to the level of Madhyama and preaches. He enters into people's lives, approaches them and shares the message of the devotion service and tries to make them devotees. So Balaramji is like that. He is concerned how the disciples are progressing, whether they are fine doing their devotion service properly. So that's how a spiritual master teaches a disciple to gradually progress. Even the deity worship, how he introduces Sri Vigrahara Dhananitya. He tries to teach the disciple to take care of the deity nicely and perform devotion service properly, considering the deity to be non-different from Krishna and taking care of Krishna's body personally. And that's how. So Balaramji here we find taking two roles and trying to console the Vrajavasis and pacify them. So here in one of the verses we find how Nanda Maharaj and Vrajavasis, before, just as Krishna has approached, or before Krishna approached, got free from the coils, the Vrajavasis are discussing what to do, how to save Krishna, how to protect Krishna and destroy Kaliya. So then that's when Balaramji comes and consoles them. So usually, if we are in a problematic situation and if we have to get a solution, we can't just consult anyone, take public opinion and get a solution. For critical solution, we have to approach the right authorities, right concerned people who can actually award us with a proper solution. So here, fortunately, they had Balaram to instruct them. And we have to approach, when we are in a problematic situation, we have to make sure that we approach the right person. Because whenever there is a situation, there is no shortage of opinions. People are always ready to give their opinion, give their suggestion. Even in the case of when Parikshit was cursed and he was in the assembly of the sages. Before Shukadeva Goswami entered the scene, Parikshit was consulting everyone. What to do? Give me a solution. How to? I have 7 days now, so what to do? And everyone had different opinions, different solutions. But finally, when Shukadeva Goswami entered, everyone understood. Now, all these public opinions can be kept aside. And then what Shukadeva Goswami is going to say, that can be taken as final. So that's when Shukadeva Goswami said, no, devote your life 7 days in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. That's the best way to perfect the life. So consulting the right person at the right time is critical. Otherwise, we may have to waste a lot of time and without reaching any proper conclusion. So when Krishna came back, or before Krishna just arrived, every devotee, all the Vrajavasis, cows, calves, gopis, gopas, everyone was in the deep separation mode, vipralamba bhav. So, as we know, vipralamba and what is the other? Sambhoga. Sambhoga and vipralamba are the two ways in which devotees serve Krishna. So, Krishna occasionally withdraws from the situation and tries to intensify the love devotees have towards him. Even in the Rasa Leela, we find how Krishna disappeared from the scene. And that increased the separation of the gopis and their affection towards him, that intense love, hankering towards him. So Krishna does that occasionally, frequently, and tries to bring his devotees closer and closer to him. And even the separation of Sita in Ramayana is a pastime enacted to fulfill this purpose. Even in our day-to-day dealings, it may be advisable, probably, to occasionally withdraw from our close connections and just to maintain that good relation, probably. Because familiarity breeds contempt, we hear. Radha Gopinath Prabhu gave a nice statement. Familiarity breeds contempt when sense gratification is the center. And familiarity breeds contempt when service to others is the center. Sorry, familiarity breeds respect when service to others is the center. It breeds contempt when selfishness or sense gratification is the center. It breeds respect when service to others is the center. So probably to avoid that contempt feeling in case we are developing, we may occasionally take a break and go, leave the place and spend some time somewhere. So here we find how Krishna, after he is coming out of the coils of Kaliya, he has garlands and perfumes. Garlands and perfumes on his body. So Kaliya became a devotee after being thrashed by Krishna, and then he renders service to him. The garlands are there, fragrances, perfumes are there, and Krishna walks over the waters. He doesn't swim. I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this. He walks over to the bank and then reaches the Vrajavasis on the bank. So it is said, Kaliya had many other serpent friends who acted as the support below Krishna's feet so that he could walk over, walking on the surface of the water. And that's how he reached without getting wet and the garlands getting spoiled. Oh, otherwise, all those things will go and the service will be rendered useless. So, Krishna walked over. And all those serpents offered their heads they also got the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, and they also could perfect their life in that way. So that's how they also rendered that service. Just because of that connection with Kaliya, connection with the Nagapatnis, so many living entities got benefited. And everyone got delivered. So then when he comes back to the bank, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, everyone embrace Krishna, Balaramji embraces. Nanda Maharaj is usually a little reserved compared to Yashoda. I remember one picture this time when we went to Kumbh Mela there at the Allahabad Gaudiya Math. There was this photo of different rasas, evolution of that rasa. So the Ayodhya and then Vaikuntha, Sakhya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. And the Vatsalya section, the picture was of Nanda and Yashoda, but Nanda is below Yashoda. Yashoda's Vatsalya Bhav is considered superior to Nanda Maharaj's. So Nanda Maharaj is usually reserved and he doesn't express his emotion openly, whereas Yashoda is openly expressing, kissing and embracing Krishna. But in this case, here Nanda Maharaj doesn't restrain himself. He is openly expressing, embracing Krishna. Of course, Yashoda is already doing. And all the other gopas and gopis. So Krishna is arranged in the, Krishna is in the center. And then the closest elderly people, elderly devotees are surrounding him. Balaramji, Yashoda, Nanda, Rohini. And then above, beyond that, there is the other covered ladies. And then the gopas. And then the gopis, the cows, calves. Such a concentric formation. So that's how everyone is regaining their lives, consciousness, after meeting Krishna back from the coils of Kaliya. So that night, it is explained how they stayed overnight. They decided to stay on the river banks and spend the night, because Krishna in this pastime, he exhibited his greatness and sweetness simultaneously. And during other pastimes of killing demons, only the gopas and the covered boyfriends could see, witness the pastime, and the Vrajvasis were not witnessing them. But here everyone could see Krishna exhibiting his valor, power, and at the same time his sweetness. So they didn't want to, they were totally captivated by that event, and they didn't want to forget. So they decided to stay there overnight and spend the time. And when they were there, that's when the forest fire comes and tries to kill. It's explained here that they were really hungry and thirsty, and they wanted desperate rest. But they decided not to drink the milk of the cows, because they feared that the cow milk were poisoned because of the Kaliya's poison. So they decided not to drink any milk from the cow, although they were hungry and thirsty. It's interesting that probably we can also try to follow this. Anything that is poisonous or unoffered to Krishna, we must try to stay away, even if we are hungry and thirsty. So probably that's a good lesson we can take up, especially on Ekadashis and other days. Or we can learn how hearing from, Prabhupada often quotes this, hearing from the Mayavadis, hearing from non-devotees is poisonous, acts like a poison. Avaishnava mukhodgirnam putam harikathamratam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishta yadapaya. So hearing from non-devotees and impersonalists acts like poison and can destroy that, kill the devotional spirit we have within us. So the Kaliya pastime represents how Krishna danced and removed all the envy, right? And Kaliya became free and pure during that event. So similarly, for us, we have the chanting of the holy names, where Krishna comes in the form of the holy name, dances on our tongue, and spits out. We spit out all our envy and poison while we are chanting the holy name. So among the five most potent forms of devotional service, which are Shravanam Kirtanam, Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship and reciting at Dham Seva. So the first three, hearing, chanting and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, are considered top, the best. So if you can't follow all five, we should try to at least follow the first three. And if it is impossible to follow all three, at least we should follow the first two, hearing and chanting. And if circumstances force us to follow only one, then we should take to the chanting of the holy name. So chanting is considered as the most important limb of devotional service. Beyond, although Shravanam is essential to begin the chanting, but once we understand the importance and the glories of chanting, we should give primary importance to that process. And that's how, that is the Yuga Dharma. Lord Chaitanya came to inaugurate this process, and that is the most important activity that can award us the highest perfection. Any other process is subordinate and assisting this main activity of chanting the holy name. So these are the few thoughts I had on this topic. If anyone has any question, any comments, you can take one or two. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.